Welcome to Energy Medicine Radio with Dr. Wu Di, a celebration of unique healing modalities for your mind, body, and soul, opening the pathway to wellness, enlightenment, and creative living. Our mission is to share consciousness-shifting information with humanity and help people improve and transform their overall quality of health, wealth, and happiness. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Wu. I'm sitting in my house right now in Miami Beach. It's a beautiful night, and I have some really great stuff to share with you. I was reading something about compassion. Is it possible to be too compassionate? I don't really think so. Human compassion, or the emotion of human compassion, is an act of going out of your way to help someone physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, trying to make a change in someone's life to make it better. Compassion is such a beautiful emotion. I want to tell you a story of what happened to me some years ago, because we all want to open up. We want to open up our chakras. We want to open our heart. We want to be more spiritual. We want to open up to the truth behind what's going on. We want to know what it is. And a lot of times, that is the opening of your heart. You know, they say all you need is love. Well, love is opening up. It's more than sex, rock and roll, and all that. It's opening yourself up. And some years ago, I was with my teacher, and I just started studying with this teacher. I left Colorado, and I moved to Mill Valley, California, to study something called body-mind clearing, a combination of deep tissue work, applied kinesiology, that's muscle testing, and many other modalities, neuro-linguistic programming. I still do this work today. It involves clearing the body, the mind, the spirit, letting go of these blockages. So anyway, I found when I got there, not only was he teaching this work, he would teach meditation class every morning rather early to me at the time, like 6 o'clock. I laughed because now I get up at that time or earlier. Anyway, I'm studying with him and learning all these different Tibetan Buddhist and Taoist healing techniques. And I said to him, would you open my heart? Because I knew that he had the power and knew how to do certain rituals that would actually open the heart. And he sort of blew me off, which I didn't appreciate. I'm pretty persistent in things, so I came back a few weeks later and said, hey, would you open my heart? And he blew me off. Well, anyway, I was there for about a month, and what happened is he's got two daughters, two lovely daughters, and the baby got sick, and he had to take the baby to the hospital. So he was sort of in a pickle, and he said, would you do me a favor, Dr. Wu? I said, anything. He said, I have to go to the hospital, and I have to go with the baby and my wife, and I have no one to watch my five-year-old. Would you mind watching her for the day? I said, it'd be my pleasure. So he went to the hospital. He was gone the whole day. He didn't get in until 6, 7 o'clock. In the meanwhile, there I was in Mill Valley, California. And we walked down to the bookstore. We went to the ice cream shop, whatever you do with kids. Anyway, walked around. They finally got home around 6, 6:30, maybe even 7 o'clock. He said, oh, I am so thankful. I don't know what we would have done without you. if there's anything I can ever do for you, just let me know. I said, oh, there is. Would you open my heart chakra? So he sort of laughed and he said, all right, tomorrow we'll meet in the meditation hall and we'll do a ritual and we'll open up your heart chakra. So I thought, man, I am going to see all of the beautiful things in the world. My heart will be open. Oh, my goodness. I was so excited. So next morning I got up. I think our meeting was like at 7 o'clock in the morning. And he spoke to me for a while and then did some rituals. I forget what the rituals were right now, but whatever they were. And he opened my heart chakra. When my heart opened, I saw the beauty of the planet. I saw the sun, the moon, the stars, flowers, all this beautiful stuff rushed in. Man, I felt so great. And then when you open your heart, you're opening and you're opening to the compassion of the planet. When it opened up, then I started seeing all the starving children, all the poverty, all the disease. You see everything when your heart's open. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't believe it. So everything opened, and I ended up crying and sobbing for about a week. I couldn't get over it. So when you're opening your heart and you're being truly compassionate to people on the planet, you'll notice you become very sensitive and very vulnerable. So when you do exercises like I do and that I teach, exercises to open up the different systems in the body. I made a video recently, a DVD, and it's called, I was going to say Opening the Way, but that's not what I called it. I called it Building the Spiritual Digestive System. In other words, how do you take in all this energy all the time? You know, our minds are built that we close off a lot of energy, because if we had everything coming in, we would have overload. But when you learn how to build the spiritual digestive system, in the beginning, you do it through a breathing technique, and I'll share that with you maybe tonight. But we're always opening up to get beyond ourselves. We're trying to open up more and be more compassionate. So when you're building your spiritual digestive system, you're able to open up to more of the things that have energy. So if I send you love, you're able to take in this love, pull that love through your body, feel that love, and use that for your growth. It's like sunshine on the garden. But when I give you negative energy, most of us try to repel it. We try to push it away. You know, we don't want to deal with that. But actually, energy is energy. And if negative energy is coming in, that is the caca in life. That's the fertilizer. So as you learn how to develop your spiritual digestive system more, you're able to ingest and digest much cruder things. Now, if we take let's say a dog goes over to a little oak tree, a little sapling, you know, something that's been growing for maybe 2 or 3 months, and he pees on it, he's going to kill the tree. But if it's a huge oak tree and the dog pees on it, what's going to happen? It's just moisture, and it's got vitamins in there, and they're going to use it for their growth. And that's when we're talking about being compassionate. And of course, we all say, oh, yes, I want to be compassionate. But if you open up too much in the beginning and you don't have the capacity, what will happen is you get overloaded. Your adrenal glands, the ones that sit on top of the kidney, they blow out sort of. And what happens is you get adrenal fatigue and your energy goes just down the sewer. So you don't want to have that happen to you. You know, you want to avoid adrenal fatigue. stress isn't bad. The stressful things aren't bad. Stressful things just come in. If we can't handle them, they're bad. But if you're able to handle it, stress is more of the fuel that feeds the spiritual digestive system. So energy is good. If it's raining out today and I want to go to the beach and I say, oh, it's a bad day. But let's say my friend has a big garden and the garden's a huge garden. Let's say he's got a whole acre, 2 acres garden. And it rains. He goes, oh, it's a blessing. It's rain. So he feels the rain's good. I wanted to go to the beach. I'm thinking the rain's bad. But it's not good or bad. It is just rain. It's just energy. So if someone is sending you energy, no matter if it's good energy or bad energy, it's just energy. You just need to develop your spiritual digestive system so you can take whatever energy it is, grind it up, move it through that digestive system, just like, you know, let's say you're a baby and you give him a great big steak. Well, the baby can't eat a big steak. You need to get like a papaya and you need to chop the papaya up. You need to strain it, you know, and then you can feed that to the baby. You can't even give it a big chunk of papaya. The papaya needs to be prepared. It needs to be soft, like a banana. Can't give a baby a banana and say, here, eat this banana. You got to mush it up a little. The same thing in the beginning when we're starting to work with energy, and as you know, this is the Energy Medicine Radio Show. We're working with energy all the time, and a lot of times we try to push it away, and it keeps coming in. We try to push it away more, and it keeps coming in, and we end up stressed out. As you develop your spiritual digestive system, whatever comes in, no matter if you think it's good or bad, it's just energy. And that's what this show's about. It's about using energy so you can grow more. You can grow mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. You grow past the blockages. You grow past the likes and dislikes. And you start to use energy to build your system and grow more. Well, tonight I was going to talk a lot about how to use the energy and what different modalities we have and what are the real numbers. What are the magic numbers around energy? What sucks your energy away? They say that television will suck your energy away. The maximum time you should be watching television, this is the absolute maximum a day, is 2 hours. If you go beyond the two-hour limit, what's happening is you're starting to lose energy. Now, when I talk about the spiritual digestive system, as you refine that system more, of course, you can take on more stuff. Although, if you want to go unconscious, the best thing to do is turn on that tube and sit in front of it, and it's sort of like a hypnotic trance we go into. There's a few things that make a big difference in our life. Like, energetically, if a person has the flu and their energy is down, they should stay away from people for at least 2.5 days, because the flu is actually a way of purifying and cleansing the system. Okay, so let's say you're eating a lot of stuff and drinking and having a lot of fun and not paying attention, and you get too much toxicity in your system. Well, guess what? Sometimes we'll get the flu, or it feels like the flu. You get a loose stool. You're nauseous. You start to sweat a lot. Things start to come out of your body. And we usually say we got a flu. But what that is that's a way that nature detoxes your body and pulls things out. Now let's see, what else can we think of with numbers? Now, I was reading something. They said, how much sodium is too much? Well, that's funny, because sodium is salt, right? That's what they think of. But when you buy that Morton salt, that salt that, you know, they say it's got an umbrella, when you shake it, it pours. Well, that's because it's loaded with chemicals. When you buy regular salt, it's not the healthiest thing for you. So if you're going to put salt in your diet and things are bland without salt, get a hold of Celtic salt. It's filled with minerals. It's delicious. It's saltier than regular salt, so you use less of it. And at the same time, it gives you quite a few minerals in your body. Oh, well, I was expecting a guest tonight, but for some reason, he's spaced out. So let me go on with a few more things on numbers, things you should do, things you should avoid. They say that we should have at least 7 servings of vegetables a day, fruits and vegetables. It's a lot of fruits and vegetables, 7 servings. So how do you get them in your body? You could be a vegetarian, but I'm a vegetarian, sort of. You know, I eat mostly vegetables. Let me see what I had this morning. I had a little parsley in the eggs, so I don't know how much that counts. And then for lunch, did I have any fruits or vegetables? Let me think. I don't think so. And for dinner, did I have any fruits or veggies? I did. I had a delicious soup, and it was vegetable soup, and it was delicious. But how do you really get those fruits and vegetables? I would get a hold of a green drink. I like greens first. That's the one I use. If you don't know where to find it, call me at my office, 305-407-0120. Greens first is a great drink. You take a scoop, one scoop of it, you put it in your smoothie, and guess what? It gives you a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables. And this way you can supplement your system, because a lot of times we don't eat an apple and a pear and an orange and a grapefruit and a lettuce and a, you know, all that stuff, so we miss out on that. So you want to put, like I said, 7 different veggies or fruits in your diet a day. That'll really keep you healthy. Supplement it. If you can't find greens first, and if you forget to call me, then go to the health food store and you can pick up a green drink. Read it. Make sure it's organic. But if you can find an organic green drink and you do that once a day, guess what, man? You've got in all the fruits and vegetables, and that's going to keep you much healthier. You know, when we're looking at health, there's a lot of different things, like your commute to work. They say never drive more than 20 miles a day. If you do, what happens is your body starts to stress out. Fatigue on the shoulders, fatigue on the neck, you know. So if you can, work and play near your home so you don't have to drive that far. I drive 6 miles each way. So I put on 12 miles a day. I got a very cool car. I'm driving a Mini Cooper with a big engine. Oh, it's so much fun. But I only go 12 miles a day. I don't really go anywhere. So it's a great little car. I think it doesn't get that great mileage. It gets about 32 miles to the gallon. And I fill it up about every 2 weeks. So that's a big tip to cut down on your stresses. Well, let's see what else. We talked about sodium, talked about driving, sleep. Sleep is really important for many reasons. You let go of your negative subconscious. You sort of detox or reset your computer when you're sleeping. They say 7.5 hours are really great if you can get it. 6. I sleep about 6 hours a night. I feel fine on that. But when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I needed 8 to 10 hours. And I'm finding that as I get older, Oh, I'm getting older. I need less sleep, which means I have more time to be up and play, which is just great for me. As far as exercise, I do about an hour and a half a day, every day, in exercise. I'm going to give you the routine that I go through. I get up in the morning around 5:30, 5:45. The first thing I do is I do it's called an oil pulling. So I take a big tablespoon of coconut oil, and I mix this coconut oil with 12 drops. Well, let's see. I guess it would be, I put a teaspoon in for a pint. I take a pint of coconut oil. I put in a teaspoon of tea tree oil. And I don't use this for cooking. I only use this for oil pulling, it's called. It's great for your teeth, great for your gums, great to pull the slime off your stomach and get you in good shape. So I take a mouthful of that, about a teaspoon of that mixture. That's a pint of olive oil. Sorry, you can use olive oil. I'm using coconut oil. A pint of coconut oil to a teaspoon of tea tree oil. It's a little strong. Put it in your mouth and you swish it around. Okay, and I hold that in my mouth for 10 to 20 minutes, and then I spit it out. I usually spit it out in a bag, you know, like a plastic bag, because you don't want to put it in the sewer system. It'll clog up things. Then I'll take a glass of salt water, and I'm using that salt called the Celtic salt. I mix it up with the minerals. I gargle with that, and I clear my mouth out real well. I get rid of all the oil, and I take a tongue scraper. If you know what that is, it's the thing that you scrape your tongue with, or you could just use a regular spoon. Use a spoon and put the spoon, you know what, you stick out your tongue, put the spoon on there, scrape my tongue around 10 times. I get out all the gink. Then I brush my teeth, and now I'm ready to go. I make a cup of tea, and then I sit down in front of my meditation spot. It's good to always meditate in the same area. And the reason why is you'll build that center. You put chi, you put energy in it, and it gets built up. So anyway, I sit down and I meditate. Right now I'm doing three different meditations. A Tibetan deity called Padmasambhava, and the mantra goes Om Ah Hum Vajraguru Padme Siddhi Hum, and I'll do that 108 times. I'll read some scripture. Doesn't make any difference which scripture I happen to choose at the time, but I read some positive words. And then I start my next meditation, which is the one I talked about a few weeks on the radio show, Om Mani Padme Hum. And that clears the six realms of consciousness. Clears the God realm, clears the Titan realm, the human realm, the hungry ghosts or the Pretas. It clears the animal realm, and it clears the hell realm. So I'll do three malas of that. A mala is 108 beads. And then the last meditation I do is one to a special protector deity. So now I get all those meditations done. And then I'm out the door and down to the beach. And the reason, well, I live close to the beach. If you don't have a beach or a river or a stream or a forest, then just go out in your backyard. And that's where I begin my Qigong practice. And that Qigong practice, that meditation, that whole meditation that I just talked about, takes about a half an hour. By the time I make the tea and the whole thing and the clean my mouth and all that, let's say an hour. So now it is 6:30. I'm down to the beach, 6:30. I'm there about 6:45, and I'm back at my house by about 8:15. So I get about an hour of Qigong in. I get a nice long walk. I get my blood flowing. I get my energy flowing. I get the meditation going. And all of that is done by 8 o'clock in the morning. Most people are sleeping. So this way I get in, I start my day in a way that I'm ready to go into the office and see patients. Because once I step in that office, man, I'm busy. I'm busy with people's problems, people's energetic stuff. I'm going to tell you about this girl who came in today. She's so interesting. She's must be 40, in her late 40s. And she told me today that she had cancer when she was 16. She got over the cancer, did chemo and all those things that one will do. And then in her teen years, let's see, 16, I guess in her 20s, she got into drugs. She was doing acid and mescaline and got into pot and heroin and all kinds of stuff and was an IV shooter and ended up with HIV. So she's got HIV. She's got cancer. She's had a drug problem. And from the drug problem, she developed hepatitis C, which has turned into cirrhosis of the liver. So if you see her, she's got a great big swollen, she looks like she's 9 months pregnant. But what it is, it's just the liver is all swollen, the spleen is enlarged, everything is enlarged, so she looks like she's... So we're talking today about all the disease, all these lessons that were presented to her through her life, and I asked her if she ever worked. She said, yes. She said, I've been a counselor. She's got her bachelor's, and she got a master's degree. And she's still working on her PhD, so she's well-educated, and she worked in with the older people, counseling, and then she worked with people with drug addiction, trying to get them out of that, and now she's working with autistic children. So in spite of all that... in spite of all those lessons, we don't want to call it good or bad, all those lessons came in, and they're sort of putting her, they're structuring her life. They're moving her along. I haven't had any diseases like that. I mean, I had a sore back, but that was as far as I went. So you can imagine this girl is going to be 50. I think she's 49 years old now. And she's had cancer. She's had hepatitis. She's had AIDS or HIV positive. She's got liver cirrhosis. And she said, of course, she has some aches and some pains and different things going on that seem to be affecting her system. But she said, no, I just keep working. I just keep helping people. So the lessons that are coming in, who knows, maybe they're from a past life. Maybe she did something in a past life to get all those diseases in her system. And, of course, the drugs didn't help. You know, those sort of put her over the edge. And we were talking about one of her friends who's still doing drugs, popping pills of some kind. And I was telling her what's interesting in the spiritual work is if you are not in charge of your body, in other words, if you're off on greed, lust, hatred, any of those emotions, if you are a prisoner to a drug, to alcohol, to one of those strong habits, even sex, what happens is the deity, or sort of like a spirit, likes to keep you in that place because you become a feeding station. They have like a cosmic straw in you, and they're just sucking off your energy. So sounds a little scary and something we really don't want to deal with, but guess what? If you're not driving the boat, somebody is. So when those spirits, they see you as a source of food, so they want to keep you addicted to whatever that addiction is, that emotion. They want to keep you, they want to have their thumb on top of you. Because you ever see some of these movies about those blood-sucking vampires? And the blood-sucking vampires, they always have like a, I forget what they call them, but they're the guys who can go out in the daytime and they won't burn up, and they sort of take care of the vampire, and they arrange the blood, and they arrange to put him in the coffin at night. I forgot what those guys are called, but they're like, they're slaves. And that's what happens when you're strung out on something. You become a slave for a spirit. Sometimes it's just a spirit, and other times it's a demonic spirit. And they're just there for dinner, baby. It's nothing personal. They're really not attached to you. But they're just waiting for you to leave your body. So when you finally die, guess what? You are your banquet. it's not like putting in a little straw and sucking off your energy. It's like, whoa, banquet time. So when you're into drugs, and I did drugs when I was a kid. I smoked marijuana and played around with that stuff. Never anything too heavy, but it was a lot of fun. And I don't know, a few months ago, a friend said, oh, Dr. Wu, would you like to smoke some marijuana with me? I said, well, thank you so much. That's such a nice offer. But I don't smoke that stuff anymore. The reason I don't smoke it anymore is because I'm working with so many different people, and all those people have an energetic spirit that floats around them. Some are good, some are bad. Some of the spirits are like that girl with the cancer and the HIV and the hepatitis and everything else. She has like a bunch of entities around her, and they're all trying to pull her apart. Now, she's a pretty tough one. She still went through school. She's still moving around. She's still breaking through that, breaking through those bonds of slavery and becoming stronger all the time. She asks every morning, I asked her about her meditation. She said every morning what she asks is this: please allow me to learn these lessons so I can get on with my life. Whew. So that baby, she's got some heavy lessons. She's got the lessons of illness, imbalances. So in Chinese medicine, when you're looking at the body, you're looking at more than just the physical body. You're looking at the physical body. Then you're looking at the energetic body. In the energetic body, that's where all the meridians are. You've got the lungs, large intestines, the stomach, the spleen, the heart, the small intestines, the bladder, the kidneys, the pericardium, the triple heater, the liver, and the gallbladder, central and governing. Boy, that's a lot. But all those meridians, they're moving through your body like giant rivers of energy, coursing. If there's a blockage mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, it's like throwing a big rock in the river. And what happens is when there's a big rock in the river, the water, the chi still flows, but it splashes and gets out of control, and people get many, many forms of dis-ease. Not a disease, but a dis-ease. Something is not easy. It's flowing through the body, but with disruptions. And a disruption in the body can easily be an illness. So that's the energetic body. And there's also the chakras. We have seven different chakras, they say. One at the top of the head, one at the third eye point, one at the throat, one at the center of the chest, one at the solar plexus, the navel point, the sex center, the very bottom, your perineum. We have these energy flowing. So when we heal the body, we have to heal not only the physical body, we have to heal the energetic body as well. And that's done really well through meditation. It's also done really well through medical qigong, acupuncture, tai chi. Those are the Chinese or the Taoist forms of healing. And that's really when we work on our energetic body, we're working on all of those energetic centers. We have another body, too. We have one called the spirit body or the Shen. And that is the third body. Really, I believe that all the disease starts there. If you were emotionally upset, you say, I don't get emotionally upset. Well, let's say you live in New York and something happens to your mother and she lives in California. You get emotionally upset. Things happen. It brings it back to that compassion that I was talking about before. You have compassion for someone. You open your heart. Your energy goes out. And unless you know how to handle it, what happens, it upsets your energetic body. Even if you do know how to handle it, it upsets the energetic body, or not the energetic body, but the Shen body or the third body. So when I'm working and I'm doing healing, no matter if it's a long-distance healing or if the person's right in front of me, I'm always working with those three bodies. If it's a long-distance healing, I'm working more with the Shen, you know, the third body and the second body, and moving the energy from me out into the universe to that other person. And I start working on them just like they were in front of me. I imagine certain things. I imagine they're here, and therefore, energetically, they are here. If you don't believe me, let's think of your cousin who lives in California, and you happen to be in Seattle. You can imagine your cousin, what they look like. You think of going to New York for New Year's Eve and watching that big ball come down. Well, we can all imagine that. Or you imagine that you're out in California, in L.A., and you're going to Hollywood and looking at that street with all those movie stars. We can imagine. We can move there. Watch this. Imagine right now you are standing on the moon. Okay, now come back to the earth. Again, go out and stand on the moon. It's a full moon on the 5th. The moon's full, or looks pretty full now. Got another 2 days. Come back in your body. So you can move not only energetically, I mean, you can, physically, you can move energetically and rather quickly, too. I have people tell me all the time, oh, I can't visualize. That's why I can't meditate. I can't visualize anything. And I ask them this simple question. Do you ever worry? And they say, oh, yeah, I worry all the time. I said, what do you do when you worry? Well, I imagine something that might happen, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, or maybe I won't have enough money. Maybe I won't have enough energy. Maybe I won't have enough, you know, lovers. Something you imagine, and when you start to imagine that, guess what? You're visualizing. It didn't happen yet. You're just imagining that it might happen. So you're doing visualization, but you're doing a negative form of visualization. All I'm asking when I say people and suggest that they meditate is they start off with a visualization. They imagine their body is starting to relax. So if I tell you to relax your toes, you can do that, right? If not, wiggle the toes, now relax the toes. Okay, now relax the fingers. Wiggle your fingers, now relax your fingers. Easy, right? Okay, now bring your attention to your feet and move your ankles or your feet up and down. Now allow your feet to relax. Bring your attention to your hands. Let your hands relax. Now go back down to the ankles. Let the ankles relax. Let your wrists relax. Okay, now let your forearms relax and your calves. So we're starting to relax different parts of the body. And how are we doing it? We're just telling it. We're like the king. I decree that the knees should relax. Now I decree that the elbows should relax. Relax your upper arms. Relax your thighs. So we're commanding the body to start relaxing. Relax your buttocks. Relax your shoulders. Relax your tailbone. Relax your neck. So what we're doing is systematically we're telling the body to relax. Now, we're just doing it in our imagination, right? Because we're just saying, and relax the kneecaps. Well, how do you relax the kneecaps? Well, you just tell them, kneecaps, relax. So you're imagining it, right? I mean, you're actually, it's happening in the physical body, but at the same time, you're starting to relax different parts of your body. And as you do that, your body's starting to relax. And you're able to set yourself up to meditate, to open, to get stronger, to be healthy, to be better, and to use energy. So when we're talking about Energy Medicine Radio, we're talking about a show that teaches you how to use different energies to pull them through your body, through your physical body, through your emotional body, through your chakras, your meridians, your Shen body. We're relaxing every part of you. In Western medicine, what do they treat? One stinking body. Here's a pill. This will make your headache go away. Well, guess what? You have a headache because something's not flowing. And it may be blocks in the spiritual body. It may be blocked in the energetic body. And it's now blocked in the physical body. Pills and medicine are for emergency only. You don't go to the doctor to get healthy. You go to the doctor to get rid of a symptom. You don't go into the hospital to get healthy. You go into the hospital because you are so out of balance that what's happening is your spiritual body and your energetic body has finally sent down the lesson to the physical that you're doing something wrong. And then it tags you. Tag, you're it. Yeah, and sometimes you get tagged with cancer. Sometimes you get tagged with hepatitis. Sometimes you get tagged with a heart attack. You don't want to be tagged at all. You want to be able to move this energy. It comes in all the time, good energy and bad energy, but you want to be able to grind the energy up, grind it up, pulverize it, make it palatable, and then you want to pull that energy through the body. I talked about this at is a church down here called Unity. I don't know if you guys heard of Unity Church, but it's called Unity on the Bay. And about every couple months, I do a lecture there of some kind. Last time I did one called Turn Stress into Power, how to take your stresses in life and use that and make that stress a form of power to change your life. Turn stress into power. Go to the internet and look it up. Turn Stress into Power by Dr. Wu Di. It's one of my programs, and it's a great program. I've sold thousands of books to people all over the world. I got these books in 7 continents. I forget which one. I don't think the Australia, New Zealand. I know they're in China. They're in England. They're in France. They're in Denmark. I said Australia. They're all over the United States. I mean, you know, people learn from these programs some interesting things. Not only do they learn how to handle their stress, they learn how to work and use the spiritual digestive system. They learn the stress receptors in the body so you can get rid of them. And they learn, which is really the most important thing in that book, is they learn how to set up the protections, the spiritual protections. So when you walk into a situation and the situation is hostile, the situation has some really sucky energy, you're able to put those protections on before you go into the situation, before you go into the energy that could suck you away, and you're able to go in there, use that energy, and at the same time, be protected so you don't get caught up in it. You know, we all get caught up. Want a drink? Want another drink? How about another one? What about a smoke? What about some this? And before you know it, guess what? You got it. So energetically, it's very important to be open, to start moving your mental, physical, emotional, spiritual self into a higher place. This is Dr. Sands is just trying to contact me. Let's see if we can get him on the show. Maybe he'll come on. He's a chiropractor in Florida. He adjusts the body and moves those bones around. Looks like if he comes on, it'll be a little late. This is looks like we're close to the end of the. looks like it's the end of the show, but we'll get him to say hello anyway. Let's see if we can get him on the air. I've worked with him for a while. He's a very good chiropractor and knows how to manipulate the bones and knows how to manipulate the spine and the joints. And he really makes a big difference in allowing people to open up energetically on the physical plane. Once you get the physical plane in good shape, and you get your body together so it doesn't hurt, it's much easier to work.
Your guest is with us.
Dr. Sands, are you there?
Hey, Dr. Wu, how are you?
Oh, good. So I'm sorry that you missed most of the show, but I wanted to introduce you to everybody. This is Dr. Andrew Sands, and he's a master chiropractor. And I know they don't say master chiropractors, so don't tell anybody, but that's what he does. He keeps me in shape, and I'm so glad that you joined us. We don't have much time, but, the name of the show is the Energy Medicine Show, and I know when you adjust the body, you move those. Tell us a little bit about what happens when you do an adjustment, if you would.
Sure, Dr. Wu. You got it. Let me tell you, Dr. Wu, it's so great to be on the phone with you. I love your energy. I love getting a hold of your spine and adjusting it and lining it up and making you shine again and feeling great.
Well, thank you. I'm feeling good. When I get a question, energetically, when you adjust the spine and you put the bones back in alignment, what actually happens? What opens up?
Okay. Well, let me tell you, Dr. Wu, let's picture this. Let's picture that spinal cord like an elevator shaft. And you've got all these little nerves coming out, and they're opening the doors at every level. Now, if you have one of those doors kind of closing on that nerve root, then what's going to happen? Your body's not going to get the message. Your brain is not going to be able to go ahead and tell your heart to keep pumping. So you never want those elevator doors closing on that spinal nerve, because those nerves are full of vitality. Those nerves want to tell the brain, hey, listen, we need to function at 100%. Because if we're not functioning at 100%, then how are we going to go stay healthy? How are we going to keep moving day after day? And all those great things that your body feels, you're not going to feel it like unless it's some type of nerve entrapment. Just like when you open up those meridians, Dr. Wu, when you stick those needles in and you free up those meridians and everybody gets better and healthy and excited to come in and see you, it's the same thing with the adjustment. Every time I go ahead and I put my hands on somebody's spine and I feel those bones that aren't in perfect position, and I go ahead and I make that adjustment, and they start feeling better because those nerves are sending that electricity to the brain, the body starts feeling better right away.
Well, man, that I know that you adjust me all the time, and I feel good. I feel great. I can feel my body radiate. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, it really helps a lot. And I have so many questions that I'd like to ask you, but we're just about out of time. You know, I know something came up for you, but maybe if you would, in a maybe next month or in a few weeks, if you'd come on the show and spend a half an hour with us, boy, it would really be great. Because so many people in my listening audience, they get a little nervous about going to a chiropractor. Oh, man, he's going to adjust my spine. I could get hurt. What happens if this happens? You know, and at the same time.
Dr. Wu, I know it could be scary. I know that people could be thinking, oh, I don't want to hear my bones crack. But let me tell you, Dr. Wu, just like you know, when we make that adjustment and those nerves are freed up and the brain gets those happy messages, you feel great. And I'll be happy to talk about it with your listeners in a few weeks. We'll go fire up a couple of questions, and we'll let them get a better understanding about turning the power back on with the adjustment.
Well, that would be great, man. I'm sorry that you missed most of the show tonight, but I really appreciate you taking the time and a few minutes to talk to the listening audience. And I know that you've been doing this for a long time. That's why I wanted you on the show to share this, because a lot of people, they go to chiropractic school and they learn the adjustments, but they don't have the years and years of experience that you do. So that's why certain people, I know when certain people come in the office, they say, oh, no, I can only have Dr. Sands touch me. So anyway, I wanted to thank you again for coming on, and I hope to see you in the near future. And
you got it, Dr.
Maybe,
Wu. Thank you.
Next month we could schedule you and have you come on the show and share with us, okay?
That sounds great, Dr. Wu. I look forward
All
to
right.
seeing you again.
Thanks again. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
Thank you. That was Dr. Andrew Sands at the Whole Life Health and Wellness Center in Aventura, Florida. And like I said, he's been doing this type of work for a lot of years. There's a neuro-emotional relationship to the spine and the nervous system, and that's what he specializes in it. A lot of times I'll get a patient with one of the vertebrae are out of place. I work with a lot of longevity, and the longevity always, you look at the kidney first. So I'm always looking at the 10th vertebrae, the 10th thoracic vertebrae. That's the kidney. That's just the kidney. So I'm always wondering if we can keep that in alignment. Can we keep them younger longer? Well, I think so. I'm not sure of that, but I think we can. So I have him work on the kidneys, the 10 and 11. That's the kidneys, and those two vertebrae, oh, they're in the lower part of the spine. Not low back, but, you know, a little further up there. And it seems to help a lot, you know. The lumbar area, you know, when you adjust lumbar 3, that's the sex organs, the bladder, the knees. Man, tune you up sexually. And your knees feel better. Boy, next time I see him, I'm going to have him do that on me. So there's different vertebrae that correlate to the organs and can keep you healthier. Anyway, we can go on with that. I'll have him on in a few weeks. Something came up and he couldn't spend the night with us. But in a few weeks, I'll get him to come back on the show. And we'll go over what vertebrae, when they're out of balance, how you can correct them and he'll talk a little bit about exercise and the adjustments and how to get your body flowing again. It's an exciting thing when we're talking about the energetics of the body. It's not like taking a pill or a pain, especially, man, I hate pain pills. You take a pain pill because you're in pain. Well, if you're in pain, and if it's, I don't care if you're taking a pain pill or you're taking a something for your mind because you're upset, what you're doing is you're basically shutting off that energetic pathway and you're going numb. So you don't have to feel it. Well, you don't want to feel the pain, and sometimes you got to do it if it's extreme pain. But when you start to take those pills that shut off your mind so you don't feel the emotional pain, you're not feeling pain. You're not feeling good. You're not feeling bad. You're just going on numb. And you make the body numb. I don't care if it's physically, mentally, emotionally. You lose out on life. The idea is to learn those lessons, to move through those lessons, to grow, get beyond yourself. You'll start to feel good and you'll grow. And that's all about that spiritual digestive system that we're going to spend a lot more time in the next few weeks talking about that. Well, I'm going to be on the air again in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. Today's the 3rd. I think it's the 17th. I'm not sure. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but it's the Tuesday, not next Tuesday, but the one after 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15. That's the 17th. I'll be on the 17th and the 31st, and we'll be sharing more things. I know I have Ray Merriman coming up. He's a great astrologer, and I have Swami Vishnu. He's in India right now. He'll be back soon. He'll talk about the energetics behind the Hindu philosophy and their meditation. So we've got some really good people lined up, and I'll have Dr. Sance on again probably in April. And we'll continue the show. We'll continue sharing with you energetic quality things to make your life better mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. Man, you're going to be sexier, you're going to be younger, you're going to be healthier, you're going to be feel good. So tune into the show. Oh, by the way, the website of the show is www.dvsradio.com/energymedicine. And every show that I've done, they archive it. So if you want to listen to some of these shows, go to the website, www.bbsradio.com/energymedicine, and there I am, the Energy Medicine Show with Dr. Wu Di, and you can pull out some wonderful, wonderful information, because we've really had some talented artists and healers and musicians and there's some great people on the planet who are going to share their stuff. So until the 17th at 8 o'clock in the evening, it's Dr. Wu Di, and I'll put it up on Facebook and give you some time so you can remember to tune into the show. And we will share more about your energy and mind. Stay young. Keep on practicing. Stay healthy. Contact me, 305-407-0120. Come in and see me sometime. It's Dr. Wu. Until we meet again, I'm going to sign off now. I love you all. Open your hearts, be compassionate, and share with each other. Remember, we're all in this together.
Join Dr. Wu Di every 1st and 3rd Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or listen again online at bbsradio.com/energymedicineradio. Wishing you the best in your health, wealth, and happiness.